Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. And I will get there in a second on mute. My co-host and friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself from ProfitableStorytelling.com. Hello, Miss Rhonda. How are you? Are you there, Rhonda?
I'm here. Sorry, I muted my phone for a second because I was silencing my speech and then I forgot about it.
Too funny.
Yeah, it is. It happens. Anyway, I'm very excited to be here on Relationship Marketing, as always. And I was just sending another social message to the networks about our show and really excited. I was actually got into the, studio from my new tablet computer, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, how awesome is that?
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So it took me a couple of tries to realize I was serious, but it got me there, so that's great. So I got the funniest comment I wanted to tell you about. Someone bought a product from me, and there was, as well as the letter about it, there was a short video. And the person said, I hope the product is worth it, is good, I'm sure it will be, but just hearing the roosters and the chickens was well worth $7.
Oh, that's too funny.
I just loved that. It was hilarious.
You know, just goes to show you, you don't want to edit that kind of stuff out. People love it.
It's crazy. They do. I remember I filmed something and chicken walked behind me. And boy, I mean, that just got people, because it's something that people other than me don't see every day. I do because I own them, but everyone else does not. So I wanted to also share that as a reminder. Part of building the relationship is just being you. And, you know, if a dog barks or the rooster crows or the chickens balk, well, that's just part of life.
Well, our listeners here on Blog Talk Radio certainly know all about that. They hear little Fritz from over here every week. They hear Molly over there. They hear our manatees. And, you know, they love it even more.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. Well, we've got a tremendous guest on our show today. And actually, this is another person that Kenan Fort introduced me to. Kenan, of course, was our guest recently, and he is building his new site that you and I have helped him get up and running, and it's really exciting to have all these great things going on.
That's awesome. Well, why don't you go ahead and do the honors?
I am. Our guest is quite a personality. He has the most awesome voice. I just can't wait just to hear him talk. I said I'd probably listen to him read the phone book. He has a great voice. He is from CBS Radio and has a show that's called People of Distinction that is syndicated all over the place. He is also an author and a singer-songwriter and a motivational speaker. And he has on his website, which is alcoradiomats.com, which you'll see the link there, you get to see his eyes, which apparently that's a big part of his trademark. And so that's very cool. He wrote a book called Romance for Women, and so we'll be talking about the whole interesting thing about adding more romance into your life and even romancing your customers a little bit. So his book is available on Amazon and on Kindle as well. I know the Kindle edition, I believe, is $3.99. And his book is about the beauty of words to the human heart and the secrets of visualizing your life 200 years from now and living it out in your present and other things. And I want to hear Al talk to us about that and other things. So welcome, Al Cole, to Relationship Marketing 101.
Yes. Hello, Rhonda. Gina, too. This is really a pleasure. Very, very happy to be here. And thank you for, you know, the accolades and the wonderful introduction. You have a great show, and I'm looking forward to adding to it with the reflections that I make. And we're going to do it up here. Boy, this is going to be great.
You're right, Rhonda. The voice is awesome. Now I see why your fans call themselves alcoholics.
Alcoholics. Absolutely. I love that. I heard your voice. I was just melted. The minute I heard it, I was like, oh, I could listen to that a long time. I love your voice. He does voiceovers. I may have him do one for me.
Oh, that is really good.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot
of
voice work as well, production. I have my own recording studio. I'm a musician, too, so I do a lot of music and voice editing, a lot of talk show editing, everything. And, you know, I kind of like wear three hats, the broadcasting, which includes the voice work and everything, and, of course, my show, People of Distinction, which is really taken off. And I'm also a musician, singer. I get out there, I do the gigs and everything, and also a writer with Al Cole Romance for Women, as you mentioned. Thank you. You know, it's available on Amazon and Kindle, and a lot of relationship advice, but also a lot of spiritual advice, too, about you know, relationships being the primary in romance with the loving relationships that we have with life itself. And yes, I love that.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome.
And that's a big part of... I'm sorry, go ahead, Gina.
Go ahead, please, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's a big part of why you're here. And because, you know, in our world, it's, you don't have a box that's your romance or relationships, and a box that's your business, and a box that's your physical health, and a box that's this and that. Everything is all combined together. Of course, we know from having had Dr. Diana Kirshner on here, and she has a couple of books, and of course, with her being a love mentor, as she calls herself, there were so many parallels between relationships in the love relationship department and in business, and this is the same type of thing here. Why not think about how you can romance your business, your customers as well, as, of course, the partner that you may have?
Absolutely. I mean, that is a big part of romance. It's a big part of love. We know that we live in a human family. We are all part of that human family. Whether we want to be or not, we were created that way. And deep inside of us, we have this beautiful love repository. Typically, it comes out with our finest love relationships. You know, when we're kids, our mother, our father, maybe our sister, our brother. And as we grow, then we add friendship into it. And friendship is a love relationship of a different sort, and it gets very deep that way. And then, of course, we know the typical. We add our husbands, our wives to that, and we add our girlfriends, our boyfriends, and we develop those love relationships. Why not in business, too? We do that typically in business, although we don't see it that way. One of the aspects of business that I consider very, very important, I define business and money kind of this way, love among strangers. Now, we don't know it's love yet. It's strangers when we, in our own encapsulation of a business, we say, I want to create something, and I know I can't create it alone, so I want to look out to business partners, and you get business partners in there. And you hire people, they become employees. Initially, they're strangers because we don't know them very well. But as we develop the love of that business and as we develop that exemplary product of that business, we form love relationships. We get to know these people more. We get to love these people because they're adding to our initial concept of business and getting that product out. We start to maybe, you know, see them outside of the business relationship, have dinner with them, meet their families. It's a beautiful thing. But it doesn't end there because the product goes out there, and people love that product. And they're getting in touch with us and saying, we love your product. Now they're part of that love relationship. And what started out as strangers no longer strangers. Now it is a love relationship of the highest type. And the money that we're making from that is money that is well made, because we're putting out that exemplary product. We're putting out love into the world, and people are grabbing onto it, and we're enriching the human family. We're enriching lives, and I see it that way.
Oh, that is just beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How did you get started in this arena?
Whoa, that's a great question. You know, I got started through my great mother and father. I was born into it. The genes are really the telling thing here. I come from a very, very romantic father, a romantic, loving father who had a childhood sweetheart that he called Anna. That's my mother's name. And they loved each other. Growing up in a Cape Verdean society, my heritage is actually Cape Verdean. I'm a black man. I'm mulatto, Cape Verdean. Cape Verde is a group of islands over the west coast of Africa. So initially African, and then with the Portuguese came in, colonized by the Portuguese. So it's that sort of influx, kind of like a Puerto Rican, only on the Portuguese side. And I found that with my mother, with my father, my mother, very strong and loving woman, they created the whole romantic relationship within the family. I have three lovely sisters, no divorces. They're married to three great guys. So we had that backing right there. And so it was a natural, it was a no-brainer. I looked out to the world and I said, well, with the love that I have in my own family, I'm going to form loving relationships out there. And I did. And once one sees it within himself, they feel it within themselves. Now they look out with those rose-colored glasses to the outside world, and they grab the niceness of people, the beauty of people, and they attract it to themselves. And when they're doing that, they are growing as human beings as well. They give it back to those people. Those people grow, and now it is symbiotic. It's a synergy. It's a beautiful relationship. And it can only come when one is humble enough to want to give of oneself, and also humble enough that they don't mind receiving the beauty of other people. They don't block it. Sometimes we give love, but we block love at the same time. And there is a talent to developing, giving, and receiving love. And that's one of the things that I talk about in my book, Alcohol Romance for Women. And that's how it all started, with my mother and father.
Oh, that is a great story. Really is.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I mean, it was just the minute I started talking to him, I'm like, oh, I cannot wait to have him on the show. What a great story, and really bringing that gift forward into the work that you do and teaching people to live that and bring that forward to the new generation.
Yeah. And it's beautiful because, see, we all have it within us. It's not exclusive territory. It is something that is inborn in our heritage as being a human being. You know, the biggest honor that we have in life is to have been born at all. And if we see it that way, we're already ahead of the game. We are already winners. We are already there because we were born human beings. And we have such a gift in our human nature, a gift of love, that even if we don't go out into the world, it's good enough just to give that love to ourselves. And a lot of people don't see it that way, but they start to see it that way once we now connect to the inner person who we are. And that inner person is the generator of all universal love. Now, we don't see it that way sometimes, but boy, all you have to do, settle down, slow down the action in your own personal life. Take some alone time with yourself. That relationship with yourself is starving. And it's saying, I want you for a change. You know, I don't want the movie scene. I don't want the TV scene. I don't want the cell phone scene. I want to commune with you for a while. And that individual, all that individual has to do is to just take some, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, as long as it takes, be alone with him or herself for that period of time. Think about the most beautiful love relationships that they've had in their life, and then generate that, visualize that throughout themselves, and actually you can touch your heart with your right hand and feel that electromagnetic energy surging throughout you. But the key is, I'm going to tell you something. Before you touch your heart with your right hand, kiss your right hand. Kiss your own hand. And say, I love you. I accept the fact that you are keeping me alive, my beautiful body here. You know what's going to happen? Your body is going to smile back at you. It's going to say, thank you.
Yep.
For all of the gratitude that you give me right now. I've been working 24/7 to keep you alive. And I'm so happy
yes.
now that you realize that. These are gifts that we're born with. And if we take the time, we can develop them in our everyday beautiful lives.
Well, I know a lot of people listening to this show are going to say, well, I didn't come from a loving relationship. I
mm-hmm.
didn't have parents that were like Al's parents.
Yeah.
What do you say to them?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Excellent point. And I know that I was blessed, and I know that there are people who maybe are not as blessed as I am. They are still blessed because they're human beings. And I'm going to say this to the audience right now. If you did come from a family background that was less than optimal, that you consider to be maybe not your best family background, one of the things that you can do, and this is different thinking than the regular relationship advice, you can, I'm telling you people, you can recreate your own family within you. You have that capacity to do that. And when you recreate that family within you, that family that you really want to have had in your life, you are recreating basically the reason for your birth. Everybody has a positive reason for their birth. And again, it gets down to taking some alone time, stopping the action for a while, not moaning and groaning about, oh boy, you know, I was given a bad deal, I was shuffled this way, shuffled that way, abused this way, abused that way. We can talk about abuse. I've worked with abused women and men in my capacity as a professional as well. But right now, I'm sticking with the positive. And the positive thing is you are still alive. You are still you. You can still generate that love energy within you if you just stop the action for a while. Get into the beauty of being you, because no matter how much you might have been abused in your life, there have been some excellent, beautiful times in your life too. And you concentrate on those lovely times. And when you concentrate on those lovely times, you're going to see this beautiful white light come over you and saying, I love you for who you are. That is your higher self. And that higher self is essentially forgiving. Now, you can't do this without forgiving. And what it's forgiving are not necessarily the people. They're forgiving the weakness of the people in your life for abusing you in the first place. And the first person that they're forgiving is you for having ever gone through that to begin with, and forgiving that you ever had to resent those people to begin with, because those people in their own light are beautiful. And once you do that, you're recreating yourself. You're seeing yourself now as not a victim, but you're seeing yourself as someone proactive who can take the reins and say, I am going to go out into the world, and I am going to teach. I am going to tell how much I love these people, even if they're not receptive to it. That's not the point. The point is that you are energy at that point, and you give your energy, your positive energy, to the ones who need it the most. And believe me, after a while, it will sink in. But it starts with you. It starts with knowing that you are loved to begin with. And you're loved by whatever creative force brought you here to begin with. If you want to call it God, call it God. And God is the most romantic creature in the world. God will have that relationship with you, that romantic relationship, that then you can forgive other people for the weakness of not having that. And in the forgiveness process, they might come to their senses, and you have recreated your own family there into the kind of family that it should have been to begin with.
Oh, wow. How awesome is that? And that really means that each and every person can do that themselves without anyone else in their life, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely. That's the point. We are the generators of life within ourselves. We have that command within ourselves. We have that potential for mastery. That's the point. I'm so happy you said that, Gina. I believe that was Gina that said that.
That was Gina that said that.
We have that capacity, Gina and Rhonda, to take control and be the masters of our own direction. And that's a love direction, even if it's just within us. And when it's within us, guess what? That's a physical fact that we throw out now to other people. That love energy within us is actually vibrational. It's physical. And people, anybody within like 10 feet of us, will be able to feel some of the effects. And they're saying, gee, I don't know what's going on, but I like the vibes in this person. We all know that. And once we start to get into those vibes of that individual, we're saying, wow, I'm giggly right now. Yeah, I'm looking forward to what this person's going to say next and all of the great advice that I'm going to get here. And we're forming relationships right then, and we don't necessarily even know that. That is the biggest relationship that we can form vibrationally with our love energy, getting other people into that physical sphere. And once we get that right person, if we're a guy, that right woman, if we're a woman, that right guy in our life, now we have formed our beautiful love relationship, the love relationship that we've dreamed about, that love relationship that we have always wanted primarily in our life. We can get that first by creating it within us, and we have that capacity to do that.
Well, and this show is about relationship marketing. Our listeners are entrepreneurs who are building businesses.
Yeah.
Part of my message to them is that you really need to treat yourself well before you can treat others well.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for success in your business, it starts with doing things inside of you, really seeing yourself in the light that you're talking about before the success in business is really going to follow.
Well, that's right. And you're talking right now about passion. Passion is one of the keys. And going back to what I was saying about business being defined initially as love among strangers, well, you concentrate on that love aspect, which is the passion that you bring to your business first and foremost. And that cuts across all business lines. Every single business is premised or should be premised initially on passion, something that is genuine within that individual, that individual wants to package for the benefit of other individuals. And I'm going to give you an example right now. As a business consultant as well, I met with a gentleman who wanted to put together a business that revolved around marketing something on the Internet. Now, we all want to market things on the Internet, and a lot of times we don't know how to go about doing that. One of the best ways is, of course, YouTube, because YouTube is not only a great way to visualize what you're doing, but it's a great way to market in another way, because YouTube, whether a lot of people realize it or not, is the number two search engine on the Internet after Google. So people will go there, and they will search for things under certain titles. Well, I asked him, okay, first and foremost, now, the thing that you're marketing, what do you call it? And he said, well, I call it Marketing 101, you know, for children, because he was an author of children's books, and he wanted to get his children's books out there. And I said, well, the first thing that you want to do is find out if that works within your passion. And he said, you know, it really doesn't, because Marketing 101 is probably used by a whole bunch of other people here. What does work within your passion when it comes down to marketing? And he thought for a second, and he said, well, one of the things that I love about working with children is the fact that they are innocent. Ah, innocence. Okay. That became part of his packaging of what he was doing, because that was his love. That was his passion. He really wanted to go into the innocence area, not so much the marketing area, but he ended up marketing innocence on this. And he started to define innocence, not in terms of naivete, but innocence in terms of, again, forgiveness. Innocence in terms of acceptance. And then he got the acceptance word in there. Innocent acceptance. Whoa! When he put it together that way, innocent acceptance, he found that a whole bunch of people were coming to him and they were saying, you know, I've thought the same thing. I love to accept people on the basis of innocence. My children, I would love to bring up as accepting people in terms of their innocence, what they actually truly believe and truly come to the plate with. He found that that started to work for him because he investigated his passion, what he really loved, and he put it in words, even just two words, innocent acceptance. And that started the ball rolling with his internet marketing of that. And today he has generated a $1 million business with innocent acceptance. And those two words really have captivated people throughout the world. And that is one of the things that I'm talking about right now. Marketing oneself on the basis of the passion and words become the exemplification of that passion to other human hearts. That's one of the keys here.
So often in the internet marketing world, the so-called gurus out there will tell you, oh, go do keyword research to find the niche to go in. And so I have people who come to me saying, oh, I'm going to sell wedding dresses online because people are looking for wedding dresses.
Yeah.
And you ask them about their passion, and they're like, oh, no, I don't ever want to get married. How are you ever going to be in a wedding dress business if you're going to be someone who hates weddings and doesn't really want to do anything related to weddings?
That's right. You're giving out the wrong vibes that way. Absolutely.
Yeah. So then when I start exploring what is it that they are passionate about, I hear two things over and over and over again. I either get, oh, I'm passionate about everything. Or, well, I'm not really passionate about anything. I get those two extremes probably 95% of the time.
Isn't
you know
that
what?
Wild?
You know, even people who say that they're not passionate about anything, that can be described as their passion. And that's
I love that.
Now, that is a telling thing right there. And I've worked with people that way, too. Well, what do you like? I don't like too much. What do you love? Well, I don't know anything about love. So your passions are not on your Richter scale right now. They're not on the, you know, they're really not on the radar screen. Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, you can work within that. You can work within the area of, let's call it apathy. Okay, now I want you to visualize apathy within you. And somebody will take some time and, you know, they'll kiss their hand. And now, as soon as they kiss their hand, as I was talking about before, they're no longer apathetic. And instantly they find that there's a conflict within them. Why am I kissing my hand? Why is my hand reacting kind of positively to the kiss? Why do I feel maybe, a little bit self-conscious here? That's not apathy. Because even self-consciousness is a way of saying to yourself, now the wheels are spinning here. I am investigating something with a little bit of passion because now I'm confused. Confusion is not apathy. Apathy is just nothing. But once something happens, it's no longer apathy. And now they're reinvestigating, what did I mean by apathy? And they're saying, you know, what I meant by apathy is not really apathy at all. It's just that I never got the ball rolling. I never sat myself down to investigate some of the deeper parts of me. Everybody can do that. When anybody investigates the deeper part of who they are and starts out with apathy, they will not end up with apathy because instantly it's going to cause confusion in them. It's going to cause a schism in them where they're going to say, wait a minute. This apathetic thing doesn't work for me because I am not getting any sort of non-feeling from investigating apathy. When I start trying to investigate apathy, all of a sudden the wheels are turning into feeling. the wheels are turning into some sort of action. Let me explore the feeling now. Let me explore the action now. That is the key. So it even works with people who say that they have no passion. Okay, so define your no passion. Live with your no passion for a while and see how you can develop no passion in your life. It'll always develop passionately.
Oh, Rhonda, I am so glad you invited Al to be on our show.
I'm telling you, I just knew. I mean, this is so great because in talking about passion, you're talking about it in a little bit of a different way. Most people think passion is just what you love to do or what excites you, and you're going to such a deeper level about what passion really is and how to uncover it if it doesn't appear to be there. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, and these are really the salient keys. You know, the self-investigatory aspects, we all have them. And see, too often we rely on other people to solve our problems for us. And we deep down know that that's not the way that we're supposed to do it. And it's not always because of, laziness or anything like that. Sometimes it's because we're so overtaxed. We just don't find the time for the right things in our life. And when we don't find the time, invariably, we're going to put it on the lap of somebody else. Well, that somebody else could be a great relationship advisor, but he's not living within your skin. He's not living within your consciousness, or she is not living within your consciousness and skin. And so what that means is that any advice that they're coming up with does not necessarily have to communicate directly to your life path. Everybody has their own life path to live and to walk. And so any advice that we get from the outside, what we still have to do is we have to communicate it quietly to our inside. And once we do that, we essentially change it. We essentially change it to that person's ideas, to now our own feelings, and to now our own even generative spiritual reactions. And now we are on a different plane. We are on the plane of us loving ourselves. And when we start loving ourselves, we see that that will form answers in and of itself. Just the love activity will form answers, and we don't need to get too analytical about it, because we know that sometimes two lovers can be in the same room together and they can be communicating without words. And we can do the same thing within our love relationship that we have to ourselves. We can communicate without words, just feelings, and we can make ourselves so holistic and so regenerative in our relationship with ourselves that way. So people, don't depend too much from the outside. And even what I'm saying to you right now, don't accept it just on the basis of words and maybe even good advice here. Take it to your heart. Take it home with you. Live with it. And remake it in your own beautiful image. And take the time out for that. And you're going to find out that you are your own relationship guru, if we want to even put it that way. You're the one who has control over the mastery of why you're here to begin with, and the mastery of your own passions, the mastery of your own love light, and that will work with business ventures that you get into as well.
That's awesome. Well, Rhonda, I'm going to let you pick Al's brain for a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. I just want to mention about the kissing your hand thing. I know for some people we'll be all over that type of thing. And some people are going to go, oh, come on, that is the most woo-woo and far-out thing that I have ever heard. Or some people may feel like, well, it might be, is it, you know, against my religion or whatever? Is it too weird? Is it too out there? And I just would like to encourage folks to just be open and try it. It's nothing that's going to hurt you. And if you're unsure about it or you don't know what you're going to experience, don't let that be the thing that stops you from just finding out what it's like.
I think
we are hardest on ourselves of anybody, really, don't you find?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to put another twist on what I was talking about with kissing one's hand as one approaches the heart, which is the biggest electromagnetic center in the body.
Right.
Let's put it this way, people. We are all human bodies here and
right.
in our life, and we know that. You know, we don't walk down the street and then be recognized by somebody who says, hey, you know, you're the consciousness of Judy, aren't you? No.
Right.
You're Judy because we can see your face, because we know your body type, etc. Now,
right.
in being our bodies, one of the things that we take for granted, and everybody takes this for granted, we take for granted that we have a heart that is pumping 24/7 to keep us alive. And we know when, as soon as that heart stops pumping, we are no longer living bodies. We take for granted that we have blood surging throughout our system and white corpuscles of that blood that are getting out there 24/7 to save us from disease. They're capturing some of the disease elements within our body. And they know what they're doing. They're saying, hey, there's a bad guy over there that I have to capture right now if we're going to keep this body alive and, you know, even just healthy. And they're doing it, and they're doing it without any thanks, and they're doing it without any conscious knowledge of us. You know, the kissing the hand does not have to be this slurpy, you know, sort of melodramatic action. All we're really saying here, people, take some time to recognize that your body is not just external. It's internal as well. Take some time to try to realize what your bloodstream is doing for you 24/7, what your heart is doing, what your brain is doing for you. Take some time to know that you have a liver, and that liver is filtering out things, and the kidney is filtering out things for you too. And if it wasn't like that, you would be in drastic trouble. Every once in a while, take some time out to realize that what you think is your consciousness actually is a big interplay of your bodily functions. And once you start doing that, now you are seeing yourself as more holistic, and you're thanking yourself. You know, this is the irony here. Thanking your body for keeping you alive, you are essentially saying, well, thank you, whatever your name is, for keeping me alive. Whoa, when you start thanking yourself, now you feel, and you really do feel this, a surge of energy saying, thank you back. You thanking yourself, you're communicating with yourself. Well, ultimately, let's go a step farther. Who created that body? Was it you? Well, no, let's say it was your mother and father. You're thanking your mother and father. Well, who created your mother and father? Well, their mother and father. You could be thanking your grandparents. But ultimately, you're thanking whatever creator you believe in, or even maybe don't believe in, that now you're coming to grips with, and you're saying, well, thank you for that ultimate creative force in the world that put me here to begin with. See, these are things, and you are that force because you started to thank your body. Now, that's the point here. Now you are into gratitude. Gratitude for just having been born to begin with. You get it?
Oh, yeah. I totally get it. And I love, you know, you talk about also this whole idea of kind of living into the future and making that your present. So I would really love for you to share that, because you often talk about creating that vision of your life and then living into that vision. So I would love to hear your take on this whole thing.
Yeah. Boy, you know, I'm going to give you a take here. And I'm going to give it with an example. An example of me and an example of others who have been touched by this. There was a time that I was going through a lot of stress, and there was a time that I was going through, you know, some money crunches. And like a lot of other people, I said, well, what's the answer to all of this? And I threw my hands up in the air, and I said, oh, boy, I don't know if I can last another day, and then I lasted another day, and I said, well, let me try to last another week. And it lasted another week, and then it became obvious, you know, in the way that it becomes obvious anytime, that, whoa, you know, I have the rest of my life to live and, you know, work this out. So I started to stretch it. I started to stretch possibility. Now, if I've outlasted a day, if I've outlasted a week, maybe I can even outlast my whole life. And I said, well, maybe I can make this work 100 years from now. I don't have to press myself to make it work today. I don't have to press myself to make it work tomorrow. My whole life can be a process towards this. And if I extend my life, I bought myself even more time. So now I start to think, you know, what's it going to be like 100 years from now? And I started to visualize my future. And I said, wow, you have a wonderful future. Why? Because you have kept growing throughout the periods of your life. And I started to see that. I started to visualize that possibility. It started out as a possibility. And as I started to visualize that possibility, it became clearer to me as if I were really living it out that, oh, one of the things that you should be doing in order to make this a reality 100 years from now is you should be using this word more and more. A certain word came up, and that word could have been advancement. Okay, so I'm going to use the word advancement in the things that I do. And it was just a visualization, had no real credence. But once I started to use that word, make it alive, advancement, in the present that came out of my visualization of the future, I found that it attracted certain people to me, and it attracted certain elements to me of passion. And I'm just using a word out of the blue right now, advancement. But I found that in settling myself down and thinking, you know, there are possibilities beyond today. There are possibilities into the future and maybe into 100 years from now or 500 years from now. And all one has to do, first of all, is to take it seriously and start to think of what those possibilities could eventuate to. And then grabbing certain things that make sense out of those eventual possibilities that are just visualizations, and then making them make sense in your present. It's like we all have this sage capacity within us to go out to incredible intellect that we don't possess in our present, but could possess in our unconscious. And that's what I'm really talking about, getting into the unconscious reality of who we are. In our visualizations, we can now intensify the intelligence, and we can actually make our intelligence twice as great as it is right now in the present if we see it as our progressiveness into the future, how great we're going to be. A 3-year-old can do that. A 5-year-old can do that. What we do, another way to look at it is, where were we when we were 15 years old? What were we thinking about? Well, that 15-year-old could be thinking, you know, I was thinking at 15 that I wanted to be married to the most beautiful woman in the world, if we're getting it from the guy's point of view. And as a 15-year-old, I worked at it. And now, as a 25-year-old, I'm there. And I am the 25-year-old now that's looking back when I was 15, just dreaming about having the most beautiful woman in the world. Well, she's by my side right now. And we're doing it now just the opposite. Well, that 15-year-old, if that 15-year-old had that vision of looking into the future to how it was going to be when he was 25, that's a reality. And he's bringing it back to the 15-year-old mentality, and he's working schemes, and he's working all sorts of processes to make it happen in his 15-year-old life. And guess what? Now when he's 25, it is a reality, and that 25-year-old is seeing it as a reality. Wow, that was my visualization of when I was 15. So we can do that too. When we're 32, when we're 50, when we're 62, what is it going to be like 100 years from now? Let's visualize and make that a reality in our present that we're working towards when we're 100 and 150 and 200 years old. And it don't hoit. It's just like chicken soup. It can't hoit. It's going to make us better human beings in the present.
And, you know, I tell you, your brain, everyone's brain is always making up some kind of a story about life, you know, yeah. do this or do that, or it could be good, it can be working against you or for you, but your brain is always doing that. Everyone's brain is. And so why not give it a story to relay and live into that is awesome and moving you forward instead of a story that's full of complaints and I shoulda, coulda, and, you know, regrets and all that type of stuff that doesn't tend to move you forward.
Well, that's right. Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree more because ultimately what we want to do is to move forward. The most negative person on earth doesn't want to be the most negative. And I'll say it this way, too. The most positive person on earth loves being the most positive. See, we love being positive. We love love, and we love affection. We love romance in that positive area. Nobody wants to be down and out. Nobody wants to be poor in their soul. And so what we have to do is work at that. See, it's not just a given that if we don't want to be where we are right now, just the not wanting to be is going to get us to where we really do want to be. No, no, no. We have to work at that. And there are certain methodologies to working at it, such as visualization, as I was pointing out, such as, you know, the kissing of one's hand, the acceptance of oneself, not necessarily the ego acceptance, but the bodily acceptance for things that are so deep within us that we take them for granted, things that are actually keeping us alive. When we start thinking that way, now we can't help but be uplifted, and we're saying, wow, I feel better today than I did yesterday, and we're progressing, and that's what we really want to do. And in my book, again, Alcohol Romance for Women, there are so many stories and methods for that, and not to mention, you know, just the outright great love poetry to women. So
Rhonda, why don't you tell folks where they can find Elle's book?
Yeah,
can find it on Amazon and Kindle, and I made a redirect to it just to make it easy if you want at profitablestorytelling.com/Alcole, A-L-C-O-L-E, all lowercase. And otherwise, you just go to Amazon and find his book, Alcole, Romance for Women.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Absolutely.
So in your business, Al,
yeah.
How have you used relationships and what you know about love to grow your own business?
You know, with CBS, CBS has been wonderful to me. But it's just the starting point with CBS because I have in the intuitive aspect of what I do, I have built relationships with some of the biggest writers in the world. There have been about 100 New York Times best-selling authors who've come to my show already, people of distinction, with their great books, with their great book advice, and it had nothing at all to do with CBS, but the spark was that I knew that I was destined for that. So I reached out to people such as John Gray, who wrote the mammoth book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, reached out to some of the biggest Chicken Soup for the Soul authors and also the executives of Chicken Soup for the Soul, reached out to them, and they responded very, very positively to coming to my show. Well, once I got some of the biggest authors in the world on my show, then it followed that so many other people wanted to be on my show, people of distinction, people in show business. Ken Corday, the executive producer of Days of Our Lives. People have been fascinated with soap operas for so long. Well, Ken is effectively the owner of that soap opera, Days of Our Lives. It was started by his parents way back in the 60s. And he talked about not only Days of Our Lives, but he talked about some of the heart and soul issues that have gone through his life from when he was a little kid. Ken talked about the suicide of his younger brother and how he had come to grips with it over time, how he struggled with it over time, and how eventually it made him more of a believer in his own life and more of a giver to other people's lives. The heart and soul issues are the things that I really promote with people of distinction. They come to me as professional experts, book experts, singers and songwriters, and experts in the education field. But then they start talking about the things that they value in their own everyday lives. And when I merge the two, that is my inspiration. And that is what I was brought up with. And that far surpasses any sort of promotion that's out there for Al Cole. It's within my soul. And that's what I attract to my show, People of Distinction. And that is my biggest success story. It generates from my love of the human family.
Oh, that's awesome. Love. Clearly, love. Relationships are a big part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are. And I form relationships with my guests. And see, that's the thing. During that hour period of time, or sometimes a half an hour, I am formulating a love relationship with my guests, and they're talking about things that they didn't even know that they were going to be talking about on my show, and actually loving it. And then the audience translates to the audience so positively, and the audience loves it as well. So that's a big part of everything.
And I would assume you have a fairly large listening audience, correct?
Yeah, I've been blessed to have that large listening audience too, and that's really the edifying part of all of this, because we don't do this for ourselves, or we absolutely should not do it for ourselves. We don't do it for our own grandeur.
No.
We do it to help other people, to guide other people, to entertain and to edify other people. And that is my mission. So when people hear my shows, one of the most beautiful things that comes to me afterwards, the emails that I get, that, boy, this show has helped me to grow. This show has actually maybe even transformed my life, Al. These are some of the most beautiful comments that you can get. And they're humbling because you're thinking, wow, little old me, I have actually touched a life out there that is expressed through just words in an email. But that expression of words through an email actually is a real, live human being out there, complete with feelings, complete with his or her own life intentions and life hopes. And I have added to that. That is our reason for living. And that is the most gratifying aspect of what I do. With my show, People of Distinction, with my book, Al Cole Romance for Women. These are the things that are really important, the way that it can change other people's lives for the better. That is our mission here.
Really is. Really is. Well, if I can ever help you find guests for your show, I have an amazing network of people that are certainly people I consider to be people of distinction. So if I can ever help you in any way out, please just let me know.
Oh, that would be my pleasure, and you have an open ticket for that. Anybody that you want to bring to my show will certainly be welcome, because it's coming from you, and I would love that. I would love to have people on my show that you, in your love energy, are bringing to my show. That's great, Gina. Thank you.
I will have Rhonda get me your email address, and I'll send you some contact info for some of the people I think could be really great guests for you.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I'm looking forward to that.
And, Al, you already know that I'm at your service and very delighted to be of value to you and to your listeners. And it's what I love about the work that you do is you have such a clear comprehension that your book isn't just about, here's a book and it's about romance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever. But yours is really a sense of mission, a sense of legacy, and that's the kind of people that tend to come to me for help with their books and everything that goes along with it. And that's just so important, because you know that you're building a legacy with this book. You know that you're changing the world. You're not just writing a book to make some bucks or to say that you've written a book or whatever. You really get everything that's behind it. So it's beautiful sharing you with our listening audience here on Relationship Marketing 101.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Rhonda. It has been my pleasure. I value what you and Gina are doing in your show. And I am just so honored to have been part of it today. And hopefully we have touched some people. And we will continue on in our individual ways of the greatness that we're adding to the human family. And one of these days, boy, you know, we will change this human family for the better. We're going to see the results of this. If enough people like you and Gina and I and a whole bunch of other people who believe in edifying that human family keep doing the things that we're doing, we will transform this human family into what we all know the human family can be and was born to be. So thank you.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
I agree. The secret is to vision it already being in that transformed place.
Yes.
And living into that and relaxing into that and allowing into that and loving into that.
That, what a beautiful way to say it. Yeah, we're already there. We are visualizing what is our being to begin with. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Well, I imagine that a lot of the people that you get a chance to meet are authors and people who are, you know, just getting started out there trying to make a name for themselves and really serve at the same time. What kind of advice do you have for our listeners who are at that place, who are just writing books, who are looking for ways of getting their message out there and really make a difference? What would you tell them to do next?
All right. First thing is, why are you writing that book to begin with? Why are you trying to get that message out to begin with? Why do you want to put together, let's say effectively, your own business to begin with? Now, there usually are not any bad answers to that, but there are better answers than others to that. If the typical answer is, well, you know, I want to be financially self-sufficient, well, that's not a bad answer, and we know that most of the time that would be really the answer, even if one is not describing it that way in those words at that time. But one is thinking of some sort of financial payback, and I want to live by the fruits of my own labor. Okay, these things are very, very important. And once we say that, now we have to live by it. Now, I'm going to talk to the audience here for another 30 or 40 or a minute, really straight. Once you define it in terms of I want to be financially self-sufficient, or I want to live by the fruits of my own labor, now you've defined yourself as a dynamo of energy, and now you have to live that way because it takes energy to do that, and it takes your own efforts, and in your own efforts, you have to learn about you. So there's no way of getting around it. Even if you want to do it to become financially successful and independent, it is you that you have to look to do that first and foremost. Again, you just have to take that alone time and figure out what are your passions. There's no way of getting around this. So ultimately what happens is when you're doing that, when you're figuring out what are my passions, well, now you are redefining you. You're getting to know yourself better. Guess what? In doing that, you are going to be so consumed with the love that you have for what you're doing, you're no longer thinking about the money, paradoxically. And when you're not really concentrating on the money, you can do things best to generate money to you. It all comes down to your reason for birth. What you want to express out there that is uniquely you, that is something that is beautifully you, that now you attach to and have attracted to you through alone time, through really understanding yourself and loving yourself. And in the end, that will generate success to you if you are sincere about that. And then you will conquer your dreams. But if you go about it with the same premise and then try to work strictly within a business premise, a lot of people are going to see that, well, this person doesn't really believe in what they're doing. They don't have their heart and soul invested in this. You want to have your heart and soul invested even in your strongest financial and business ventures. That is the whole key. Know yourself. Getting back to the ancient Greeks, know thyself. There's no better prescription.
I am so glad I asked the question.
Love it, love it, love it.
Great advice, Al. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for being on our show today. Rhonda and I will be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. And Rhonda, why don't we tell them one more time how to find Al's book?
You go to profitablestorytelling.com/Al Cole, lowercase, and you'll find his book, or go to his website. All that information is in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here and everybody for listening. And Andrea Wolf, for your comment, what a yummy love fest this is.
Well, thank you again, Al. And again, if I can do anything to help serve you and your guests, please just reach out. I'd be happy to help.
Thank you so much, Gina. And yes, we will be in touch. I'll be in touch with Rhonda, and I will be in touch with you, and we can certainly...
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.